Yeah. nasce in noi, amando il tuo tempo, che sia copica, cantata, fatta il nostro cielo, fatta la pace e ora ti dare. Mangia per te e c'è che passa in due e c'è di mamma male di voce e c'è di Krishna Chaitanya Munichanda sia fretta la rama ci passa di cora Krishna 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 Krishna
So we are continuing to hear the great activities of Maharaj Bharat. Just a little bit of background to where we are at context. In the fourth canto we heard the lineage of activities of sons of Maharaj Uttarapad, Dhruva Maharaj and Maharaj Prith Maharaj, Anga, and so many. And then that ended with Vichita's son, Daksha. So the fifth canto, we're hearing the activities of the lineage of Sir Uttarapad and Priyavrata, the brothers. They are sons of Swayam Bhuma. So the Swayam Bhuma is son of Lord Brahma. So Brahma, Swayam Bhuma, Uttanapad, Priyavrata. Priyavrata is the older brother of Uttanapad. However, Uttanapad took the kingship because Priyavrata Maharaj was not inclined to rule. So he instead went to Anandamadan Hill to perform a great set of austerities under the guidance of Narada. And so here in the fourth canto, the lineage of Uttanapad, now we hear in the Maharaj Priyavrata's lineage. Whereas when Priyavrata Maharaj was performing austerity, at that time the lineage of Uttanapad stopped at Maharaj Daksha, who didn't want to become a ruler. So then Brahma and Narada convinces Priyavrata Maharaj to take over the rulership of the Bhumandala. So Priyavrata Maharaj comes back and becomes the king. And he gets married. And he has two wives. And from first wife he had 11 children, which is 10 sons and one daughter. Out of 10 sons, 3 become sannyasis. One daughter is married to a Sukracharya. And the 7 of the sons, first sons, becomes the rulers of these 7 islands of Bhumandala. Amongst the older son, it was the of Priyavrata was Agnidra. Agnidra's older son was Navi Maharaj. Navi Maharaj performed yagya. He wanted to have a child similar or same as Lord Vishnu. But when the Brahmins performed yagya, Lord Vishnu appeared on the yagya. And Maharaj Navi wanted a blessing to have some Lord and same similar as Lord as his son. But Lord said, there is no one like me, so I will have to come as myself. So Rishabhdev, who is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, okay, Krishna. So he appears as Lord Rishabhdev. Then Rishabhadevi becomes a king. Now Lord Rishabhadevi has how many sons? 100 sons. So how many became our 100 sons? Bharat Maharaj is the oldest. So 81 sons of Rishabhadevi became the Brahmas or common kind of ritual performance of following the Vedas scriptures. Then 9 of the became Kshatriyas. So the 9 of nine becomes Navayuvanas and the rest of becomes Kshatriyas. So of the 100 son, Bharat Maharaj is the oldest son. Now as we hear it, the activities of now Bharat Maharaj is in this chapter. Bharat Maharaj, as we also heard in the Dushyant chapter, that the one of the Varsha was known as Asnava Varsha. That has Bharat Maharaj ruled so perfectly so that the whole Varsha becomes a Bharata Varsha of the Maharaj. So Maharaj Bharat performs a many. Now he becomes a king after Rishabhadevi. And then he performs, in order to please Lord Vasudev, he performs different types of sacrifices. So we heard in text 5. And how long did Maharaj Bharat rule for? This is served in the text 8. It was for
100,000 years.
100 million years.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
thank you.
It says 1,000 times 10,000.
Huh.
Who's got the calculator?
100 million.
Yes, 100 million.
Huh.
100 million or 1 million?
100 million.
1 million. 100 million. So, 1,000 times 10,000.
Six zeros.
Seven zeros. So it's a million or a lot. So he ruled for that many years. This is in the text. It says here, the destiny fixed for the time of Bharat Maharaj enjoyment with material opulence 1,000 times of 10,000 years.
10 million.
When that period was finished, he retired from the family life and divided the wealth he had received from his forefather amongst his sons. So after retirement, I think we hear today, we're hearing now he's going to where is he going to? Ashram of Pulahala. Yeah? And the bank of Gandaki. So this is just a little bit of background. So what is so now Bharat Maharaj has retired, gave his kingdom to his sons, and now he's going to be, he's taking the Manavarsha in the ashram of Kulaha. So, in so many places, there are holy places. Kulaha ashram is also one of the holy places, which is in the bank of River Gandaki. Who's Kulaha?
Sage.
Yes, sage. Pulaha is one of the first sons of Lord Brahma, Manas Putras. He also comes as one of the Saptarishis. Anyone know the Saptarishis? Vrigu, Angira, Marichi, Atri, Vasishta, Pulatsya, Pulaha, and Kratu. is the Saptarishis, that's we can see on this. Huh? So his reach, Varma's reach in the ashram of Kulahar. I believe Kulahar is not there anymore, but the ashram remains there. Then he reached. I was just looking at in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also it says in the 10th canto, chapter 79, when Lord Balaram was touring, see the when Mahabharata took place, the Krishna took part in the Mahabharata, Lord Balaram didn't. And instead, where did he go? He went on the pilgrimage. So the 10th canto of the chapter 79, text 10 says, the Lord, this is Lord Balaram, the Lord followed the course of Sarayu until he came to Prayaga, where he bathed, and then performed rituals to procreate the demigods and other living beings. Next, he went to ashram of Kulaha. So Lord Balaram also went to this ashram in Kulaha.
Are we talking about Nepal? Where?
Yes, it's the Ganindir. I was going to talk about this. Yeah, Ganindir is going, it's in the Nepal. And we will talk about this in the whole, I mean, we'll discuss something in the video. So, Lord Balaram also went to this ashram. In the text 11-15, it says, Lord Balaram bathed in the Gomati River and Gandaki. This place. It's a very special place. Now, there's a whole history of Gandaki River coming to be becoming a Gandaki River as well. So I thought we'd just spend a little time of discussing how this river has become come into existence. What was the significance? The history behind, and we find this is in the Bhagavata Purana, it's related to Tulsi Maharani. And Gandaki River is also related to Tulsi Maharani. I was just listening, this is the whole story of this Tulsi Maharani. Gandaki River and then whole how history of Tulsi Maharani, how she becomes Tulsi Maharani, is narrated in the in Puranas, primarily in Brahma Vaivarta Purana. And I was listening to the narration by Amalabhata Swami. You can find it. It's about roughly 8 hours of audio. That is a whole narration of Tulsi Maharani's life history of how she became Tulsi Maharani is there and it's on his website. So just briefly summarize our same story. So because we're discussing about the Gandaki River, this is a topic of today. So now there was a king by the name and it comes the line of Daksha Shavarni. Was a Vaishnava, he's a devotee of Vaishnava. And in his lineage, so that's the Shavarni, and that's the Shavarni's son was Vishnu Shavarni, and Vishnu Shavarni's son was Raja Shavarni. They're all Vaishnavas. So Raja Shavarni's son was named Vrishabhaja. Now this king becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu. I'm sorry, Lord Shiva. See, up until this now, that they were Vaishnavas. Now, this particular king, by the name of Vrishabhaja, becomes the devotee of Lord Shiva. To this extent, also he actually blasphemes the worship, the devotees of Vishnu. So he pleased Lord Shiva greatly, and Lord Shiva was very pleased. However, because she was blaspheming Lord Vishnu, the demigods were not happy. So it so happened that finally the Suryadev couldn't tolerate the blasphemy of the Vrishabhaja, so he cursed them. So for the two generations, that they will lose the power, or they will lose their wealth or kingdom. So in that line, the two kings, said the Lord, so what happened was, then when Lord Shiva found out that Lord Surya has cursed, he got upset. To the extent he actually says it, one day we'll take revenge on his wife because I don't. So it so happened, Surya Dev, fearing Lord Shiva, he takes such a role. And there's all the collection of devotees, finally they reach Lord Vishnu and then take course. And then Lord Shiva ensues and follows, and he also reaches the Vaikuntha because he's chasing Lord Shiva, Suryadev. So, in that relation, there's a whole conversation takes place between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. He's actually consoling Lord Shiva and said, nobody pacifies them and everything. During that time, some moment or some time has elapsed. So what take place, because they were Vaikuntha, there's a time gap took place. And by the time Lord Vishnu tells them that, hang on, you being upset, there's already two generations already passed by the time of this conversation taking place. So now the next generation is, who is from the line of Vishwadvaja is Dharmadvaja and Kushadvaja. There's two generations gap. So the Vishwadvaja is already left. So these two, Dharmadvaja and Kushadvaja, they became a Vaishnavas again. And they were worshipping Lakshmi Devi as worshipping. So now, this is Lord Narayana telling me, so it was always taking place. So as a blessing of Lakshmi Devi, Dharmadvaja gets blown up, who is the partial expansion, Lakshmi Devi himself, partial expansion as the daughter of Dharmadvaja. So Dharmadvaja now has a daughter who is so exquisitely beautiful, who is partial expansion of, and his name is Tulsi. What is the meaning of Tulsi? What does it mean? Tulsi means that which cannot be compared, is incomparable, or matches. There is no comparison. It's a beauty or anything, any opposition which has highest quality. Matches. It means matches or incomparable. Tulsi. So, being a Tulsi, see immediately, Tulsi wanted a husband, Narayan as a husband. So now Tulsi, she wanted to get the Narayan as a husband. She goes to perform tapasya. So I think she goes to Badrinath for a performing tapasya. There, there she performs a tapasya for a long period of time. It says, So what she did is this, in summer, she exposed herself to four fires around with her and sons about the winter. She submerged herself in this icy water. In the rainy season, she subjected herself to a heavy downpours of funeral grounds. For 20,000 years, she subsisted on the fruits and water. For 30,000 years, she chewed the dry leaves. For 40,000 years, she lived only on air. And for 10,000 years, she didn't even breathe. That was the severe austerity she's taken. So finally, Lord Brahma appears in the scene, and then she blesses her sister, wanted to stop doing that performance, similar to like Guru Maharaj, like when he stopped breathing, the whole universe is conscious. So Lord Brahma comes in the scene, and then he requests Tulsi to stop, and then ask for benediction. She asks Lord Brahma the benediction. She said, I have a desire to have Lord Narayan as my husband. So in that meeting, Lord Brahma reminds her who she was in previous life. So in previous life, Tulsi wasn't Tulsi, but she was in Goloka Vrindavan. How she became Tulsi? She narrates the story of how she becomes this daughter of Dharmapraja. So, Lord Ma, this is now Lord Ma saying, what is he said? So Lord Brahma comes and says, oh Lord, oh Tulsi, ask me a boon. Whatever it be, devotion to Hari or servitude of freedom from the age of freedom, I will grant it. Now this Tulsi actually herself is saying, because she is Jatismara, means she could remember previous life. Now Tulsi Devi is narrating her past story. She says, she says, oh yes, oh Lord, this is Tulsi Devi talking to Lord Brahma. She said, I will ask, please listen, I will not hide my desire out of fear or shame, since you are all being, all knowing. My name is Tulsi. Formerly I was a cowherd girl in Goloka, and there I served Radharani and beloved of Lord Krishna. I am a partial expansion of Radharani and was her favorite companion. But one day, in the place where the rasa dance had occurred, Krishna became intimate with me and I fainted from excessive joy. While I was lying there, Radharani suddenly appeared and saw me in that condition. She was not all pleased. Blinded with fury, she first reproached Krishna and then cursed me. She said, oh vile one, go and take birth as a human being. This is Radharani's anyway, so that's how Tulsi Devi now sent down to the daughter to become Tulsi. And then because she's partial expansion of Lakshmi, and then she's also partial expansion of Radharani. So there's she wanted to have her husband as Narayan. However, now Lord Brahma also tells him before you will have husband as Narayan, but before that you will have to there's another cowherd boy who is also Lord Brahma replies, oh Tulsi, so the Lord Brahma is one of the cowherd boys. in Goloka, also is doing a tapasya. He's come as the demon by the name of Shankarachura. Prabhupada says, oh, go see, Sudama was a partial extension of Krishna and was one of Krishna's cowherd boy in Goloka. As a result of Krishna Radharani, he is presently living in earth amongst the Tandavas, demons. His name is Shankarachura. He is very energetic and no one can compare him with in his strength. While living in Goloka, he was very attached to you and wanted to marry you. But because he feared Radharani, did not make any virtue. So another instance, what happens is this Sudama, this Krishna also again becomes intimate with another gopi called Viraja. Viraja, yeah. And when Radharani sees him, and then what happens is Viraja becomes sitting at the river, and he just hides himself and becomes a river. That is Viraja river, that between spiritual and the, so, and so in that instant, again, Radharani wanted to also chastise Krishna. Just Krishna hides somewhere. Finally, he finds Krishna. She finds Krishna and start rebuking Krishna. It so happened there was this coward boy, by the name Sudama, also happened to be in the same place when Radharani was rebuking Krishna. She was chastising Krishna so much that this Sudama was hearing of it. He couldn't tolerate it anymore. And see, he also, chastised Radharani also. In that instance, Radharani gets upset and she curses him to become a demon. There's a whole long narration, I won't go over that. So that's how this Sudama has now come as Shankarachura. So Tulsi has come as daughter of Dharma, same name, but it's in Shankarachura. So Shankarachura also performed a great austerity, long austerity. And Lord Brahma also comes to Shankarachura. He said that, and he also reminds him his previous life. And he said, okay, now there's also Tulsi who's also performing austerity. You go there and meet her and then marry her. And then Lord Brahma also tells Tulsi Devi that this is what's taking place. Now you marry him first and then you'll have Narayana as your husband. So the Shankarachura Tulsi also asked for another boon. He said, I have been cursed by Radharani, but I want to do something that's special. Please grant me a boon that I will lose my fear of Radharani. That is two boons. She wanted to ascend as Narayana, and the second boon she wanted from Lord Brahma was that I lose my fear of Radharani. So, and this side, Shankarachura also performed a great assert, and the Lord Brahma comes there and he gives him a boon. He said he becomes a powerful, and Lord Brahma also gives, he tells him that you become very powerful, because now he's taking birth as a demon. And Lord Rama also gives him a amulet. Is it amulet? Kavacha. That as long as you wear this, no one can kill you. And second also he says, as long as your wife is chaste, no one can kill you. So this Shankarachura now goes to where Tulsi Devi is and approaches her. Lord Rama is gone, you can see. And initially she refused. There was a whole conversation that started. She refuses. then he goes, let me just tell you, this is quite a very interesting conversation takes place between the Sankarachura and Tulsidevi. When Sankarachura approached her for marriage, so when Sankarachura reaches Tulsidevi, he says, "Oh, beautiful girl, whose daughter are you?" This is when he reaches the place. "And how have you come to this forest? You took most fortunate place, you look most fortunate and blessed. Indeed, you are the personification of heavenly joy." Yes, the woman. "You model of the loneliness and can certainly be with even saints. And then Tulsidevi replies, she says, "I am the daughter of King Dharmadhwaja and have been practicing asceticism here. But who are you? Why are you talking to me? If noble man sees a virtuous woman alone, he does not talk to her. So go away, wherever you please." So she refuses him. And see, Sankarachura is very sarcastic. She says, "In Shastra it says only that degraded men desire a woman. First, woman is sweet to a man, but later proves fatal. Though her mouth rains honey, her honey." Like, and the heart is like a jar of poison. She's just testing him, so it just gives the whole conversation. The whole conversation is very beautiful conversation takes place. Anyway, finally, see, and now, because Lord Brahma also has told him about his name, so now they accept Devika. She marries the name Sankarachura. Another name, I think Jalandhar is the same, it's also the same as Sankarachura, I understand. So, the Sankarachura and Tulsi now married, and the Sankarachura becomes a very powerful demon. He even actually throws out, he changes all the demigods from their respective position. It's so that it could, to the point, the demigods now, they don't have their power anymore. So the demigods get together and they go again. They go to Brahma. Brahma goes to Shiva, and Shiva goes to Lord Vishnu again, as usual. So, Lord Vishnu tells them all the story of these two personalities, the Sankarachura and the Tulsidevi, to the demigods as well. And then, say, okay, now here's the plan. The Lord Shiva, along with his whole army, will go and attack. But because he has got this woman, that as long as his wife is chaste, as long as he has that amulet, he cannot be killed. So how do you kill him? You make a plan. So Lord Shiva becomes the commander of the army, and he goes. And then before they send the messenger like Buddha. Like the Lord Krishna came to Mahabharata, the Shanti Dut. They also sent by the name Pushpadanta to say, "This is you have now. Please give the respective place or allow these demigods to rule to their respective post. Give them post back because you've taken all the posts from the demigods." So. But he refuses. So anyway, Lord Shiva is the commander of the army, and then they attack, and they now there's a whole war takes place. For many long time, there's a whole description of the war and everything, so that takes place. So finally what happens is Lord Vishnu comes in the scene. Now Lord Vishnu comes in the battlefield as a form of Brahmana. Because Sankarachura is also is a pious king. And when Brahmana approached, he said, ask anything you wish. So So at that time, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu asked for that amulet for the development of the Megaswara he had. So give me that. So because now he has promised to Brahmana, he gives that amulet to him. On the other side, Lord Vishnu is also taking a form of a Sankarachura. He goes to Tulsi Devi. So, and the when Lord Vishnu has appeared in front of Tulsi as Sankarachura, she receives him and asks him, so then the whole conversation takes place. I have won the battle, I have come back. So she receives him, everything, and then at that time the intimacy relations takes place between Tulsi and Lord Vishnu. But somehow Tulsi finds that now this is not my husband. He's come, she's somebody, somebody's all day. So she finds out this is not my husband, this is not how, I mean, because she knows how intimate relationship between husbands is. She gathers something that's not my husband. So she finds out then Lord Vishnu comes to as he reveals himself as Lord Vishnu. So at that time, Tulsi was a bit upset, and so you have become as hard-hearted as stone. So you become a stone seeker, so you can become a stone. And that's that Lord Vishnu has now comes as a in the form of Savadram. That is how Savadram has become, Lord Vishnu has become Savadram. Now, Lord Vishnu in the form of, you could say, blessing, or in the form of Krishna, whatever you call it, he said, okay, you have performed a service to become my wife. I have come and fulfilled your desire as being a husband. How will you curse me? At the same time, Lord Vishnu said, okay, I will be, you become Saligram, and then your body, that which is now, as a Tulsi, will become as a Gandhi river. You will get this body, you will become a Gandhi river, and I will become the Saligram Shiva that is found in only in the Gandhi river. And the hair of that Tulsi's body will become the plant of Tulsi. That is how the Tulsi comes into this hair. So the Gandhi river is in Nepal, and that the source is the Damodar Kunda. Damodar Kunda, yeah. Which is close to Muktinath, where Lord Shiva, sorry, Lord Vishnu, is self-manifested, Lord Vishnu is there. So the Saligram, the Gandhi river flows from Damodar Kund, and the Saligram is only found in the Gandhi river. It is said that if somebody devotee goes to Damodar Kund and even just offers a tulsi leaf, the Saligram would manifest from the. And this is I heard at times that manifests from the Kund comes in. It's very you cannot go there because it's very high in altitude. You cannot. This is you just need that. Not many people will go there. If you happen to go there, if you worship with the faith, you can offer a tulsi leaf and the Saligram Shiva manifests from there. I can't recall that if some devotees have tried that, actually gone in the tradition history. So that's how the Saligram Shiva flow from the Damodar Kund. It's also said that Damodar Kund is where why is it became the Damodar Kund? Because the Namakuvera and Manigriva, who were delivered by Lord Damodar, after their they were delivered by Lord Krishna, they also went to Damodar Kund and performed an austerity there. Because they worshipped Damodar, that's why it's called Damodar Kund. The one reason that's called Damodar Kund there. So, anyway, that's how now that the Tulsi's body has become a Yajnagiriva, Lord Krishna has become a Sadhana Krishna, and Tulsi has also manifested as a Tulsi plant, Tulsi's hair. So this is how it's described. So, I'll just read you some of the blessings that Lord Vishnu gives as the blessings of worshipping Tulsi. So, when this conversation taking place, the whole cursing and becoming a Sadhagram, as a Guru Vishnu becomes Sadhagram, the Tulsi becomes a Tulsi plant, and the body of the Tulsi becomes a Ragnarikarira. So, Lord Vishnu gives the blessings of the Tulsi Devi. He says, this is Lord Narayana speaking. The sanctified Tulsi tree will grow in Goloka on the coast of the Vyasa River on the Rasadhan site. So this Tulsi, Lord Krishna also blessing that the Tulsi plant also grow in the spiritual world as well. In the forest of Vrindavan, Bhandrika, Sampaka, and Chandana, and the groves of Madhavi, Ketri, Kunda, Malika, and Malika, you live in the sacred place and bestow the highest religious merit. All the holy spots will converse and reside the root and reside at the root of the Tulsi tree. And thus spiritual merit will occur to all. All fair one, all the demigods, and I will wait there to gather the fallen and gather the falling Tulsi leaves. Whoever will be moistened to atone, moistened or atone, anointed with the water that has been sanctified by Tulsi leaves will reap the benefit of having bathed in the sacred rivers and perform all kinds of sacrifice. This is how just by pouring a little water, as we do in the morning, every morning, that you get the benefit of doing all kinds of sacrifice. Lord Hari will not be pleased with the gift of thousands of jars of honey as with one Tulsi leaf. He says, if you offer a thousands of jars of honey, I'm not pleased, but if you offer it's a simple with love and devotion, one Tulsi leaf, that could please the Lord Hari. Of offering one such leaf as a gift will bring a same reward as obtained by offering millions of cows. So if you want to say, if you give thousands and thousands of cows, you just offer a leaf, those leaf, to the Lord. It's as good as offering a million cows, Lord giving a nation. If one offers Tulsi leaf during the month of Kartik, he gets the same reward as just mentioned above. If at the time of death one drinks or gets the Tulsi leaf water, one will be free from all sin, all his sins, and proceeds to Vaikuntha. That's how, if you hear even in the general, in India, it's a common practice that if somebody is dying, first thing they'll be looking for some Ganga water or looking for water Tulsi leaves to put in their mouth. This is where it's coming from. It says, a person has the Tulsi leaves and if he drinks water. Whoever drinks the costly water daily will be redeemed of his lifetime and receive the benefit of dipping in the Ganges. Whoever plants those leaves keeps it in his person, keeps it on his person, then leaves his body in the holy place will go to Vishnu Loka. That's how the only person is dying. You see, and the name is for Tulsi. We look for Tulsi in the body. There's also, there's negative side also. If you don't look after Tulsi, there's all blessings are given. So, yeah. So we have to be very careful to look after Tulsi and everything. So, it's a long blessing there. So, also, I want to go through that. I'll just quickly read through a few. Lord Hari now giving the blessings of somebody who worships the Salinam Silas. See, these Salinam Silas are found in the Gandhikrila, and there's a insect called Vajrakita, who's got a teeth like a diamond. Vajra means diamond. Teeth like a diamond. It makes a mark on the Salinam Silas. So these Salinam Silas are worshipped in a different kind of forms. A different avatar. Sometimes they worship as Guru Nrsimha, Guru Vamana, or different incarnation of Lord Vishnu. And they are recognized. There's a whole book how you recognize those Salinam Silas according to the markings of that insect called Vajrakita. He marks it, and then they are worshipped as different forms. Sometimes you worship the Sudarshan Chakra, sometimes you worship the Ananta, sometimes Nrsimha, Vamana, and so on and so forth. And these are markings marked by this Kita, and that's how they worship. So there's a different kind of blessings of each type of Salinam worship. No? This is Lord Vishnu having a conversation with Tulsi. As for me, by your curse, I'll become as stone and remain close to bank of the river Gandaki. Millions of Vajrakita worms with their sharp teeth will make Coventurous rings and the stone there, the chakra, representing me. These will be known as saligrams or sacred stones. These stones, which have one entrance called four rings chakra, are marked with the garlands of wildflowers and look like a fresh rain cloud, will be known as Lakshmi Narayan Murtis or form. These stones that have no entrance holes to the four ring chakra will look like rain clouds, have no garlands marking, will be called Lakshmi means another chakra. So it gives a whole description of how each markings will represent what type of which form of Lord gives them. That's the whole. So that's some. Just quickly remind you of some of the benefit of without a doubt, the demigods are pleased when a person who daily worships the Salinam Silas. He becomes so holy that even all the holy places reside in desire his touch. So one who worships the demigod, also can be. He becomes a Jivan Mukta, liberated while physically body and Gorgi. Ultimately goes to Vaikuntha and serves the Lord Hari there eternally. Any sin such as killing a Brahmana flies away from just as a snake flees the sight of Garuda. The earth is consecrated by the dust of the feet, by the birth. It redeems 100,000 of ancestors. So it is punya. Anyone who, while dying, drinks Sarvamsila water will be free from all sins and go to Vaikuntha. He becomes completely free from the effect of the karma, material action and reactions, and without doubt becomes forever absorbed in the vision of Lord Vishnu, so to speak. Anyone who dies while holding Sarvam Sila in the hands, he goes to in his hand goes to Kumbhimaka helpful. This is a negative side of it. So if anyone breaks his promise while holding Sarvam Sila in his hand, he goes to Asipatra hell for 100,000 mananta. So worshipping Sarvam Sila is very powerful, but if you neglect or take a vow or if you don't fulfill, it's also considered a failure. So in conclusion, Tulsi also is goes back to Guru Vrindavan. The Sankarachura becomes goes back to Guru Vrindavan after death and life and everything. So this is where Bharat Maharaj has gone to the bank of Gandaki River and is worshipping Sarvam Sila with the Tulsi. And this is how they did it works. Just to summarize today's where Bharat Maharaj has reached and he's doing this worship. So just a brief history of Sarvam Sila. Okay, any comments, questions on any of this?
So just a comment and a question if I can remember. So the Srimad Radharani.
Then it might be on my second mic, maybe. So I have to repeat because there's people here in online, so I just want to call that. So, thank you.
So Srimadhi Radharani has cursed to Sidhari to come to earth in the manner that many of the demons, like Sankachuda, would have been cursed by Vishnu, by Krishna. And normally when the demons come, there's quite an active pastime with Krishna, and the benefits to the world that Krishna, because he's genius, even the demons attract Krishna's activities with the demons attract the conditioned souls to Krishna's pastimes. So Tulsi Devi's pastimes are less active, but you've described a whole lot of benefits that we get by worshipping Tulsi Devi in her incarnation as the plant. So yeah, I just wanted to appreciate that. Curses should be Radharani.
See, when we kind of, we may see it as the, why is it taking place? It's a spiritual world, and then this curse, and there's this different place. But just also remember, nothing happens without the will of the Lord. Even the pastimes of Jaya Vijaya coming to this world was the Lord's desire. Similarly, these great personalities come to do a great humanity benefit to humanity. You know, different Tulsi Maharani says, for example, and you know, they come and then there's more. Sometimes Lord takes pleasure in you know, fighting with them. They come as Yaranacharya, Kashyapu. This is all Lord's desire. They don't come. Even they come, they do some great activities and to teach us some lessons. Give us the images or desire for us to return back home and to go and become. So we don't normally take this as in a negative sense, but the for the benefit of the humanity. So I think, you know, I asked this question, I want to add to the initiation from Mr. Jagdish Maharaj, rather than initiation. I asked this, I mean, seems similar in the context of why this curse and counter curse, even in the spiritual world, that was my question. You know. And he put it in a similar context, he says, this happens because of the will of the Lord. And these personalities, they don't completely fall down. They do some certain activities for the benefit of the humanity, and they return back home back to God. There's a purpose behind them. In general tradition, if Jiva goes back home back to God, Krishna promises that he will never return. In Bhagavad Gita, right? Once you return, you will never return. Krishna promises. So, and I promise you will not be subject to our curse or anything that Krishna takes care of that. Even if you come to it, if you haven't so, you will come to assist in Krishna's pastime. And you will go back. You will be guaranteed. So, there's no loss.
So, one question, I just couldn't quite pick up the, I don't know if it was a curse or I think a benefit. You were mentioning that Shalagram Shiva's in the mist. About the earth, touching the earth. I couldn't quite hear. Can you just repeat that from the list?
Could you repeat it over the earth over there again?
It's from the Shalagram Shiva blessing list, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Something about touching the earth. If you can please find that. Thank you.
Because one of the I think kind of negative, it says anyone who lies down or sleeps while holding Shalagram Shiva in his hand goes to Kumbha Kumbha Paka hell for as long as life is over Brahma. I'm assuming that you're just neglectingly or just going in there sitting and cheaply and then just sleeping or whatever, and I'm not taking care properly. In that case, if you worship in that manner, then there's also an offense. That is what someone not taking that action. That's not an
issue. I think there was a further one, further down the list.
Okay. And something about the earth, did you say?
Sorry, I can't recall.
That's all right, okay. Okay, I'll just read it. He who worships Shalagram Shiva without offering tulsi leaves on it or separates the leaf from the stone will have to suffer separation from his wife in the next birth. That's one of the. So, and if one does not offer tulsi leaves in a conch, he remains without his wife for a seventh birth and it becomes a disease. He who maintains the Shalagram Shiva, the tulsi, and the conch in the place becomes very beautiful or divine. It is painful for a person to separate from the beloved, whose company he once enjoyed, You were dear Lord Shankaracharya, this is Lord Narayan speaking, so, yeah, so, I couldn't find another, I'll share the document with you.
Sorry to distract.
Yeah. So, yeah, so there is benefit, and there is also, you have to be not negligent. As we know, as we, Krishna altar, we have this Shalagram Shiva. We worship Trivikram. So we have Gopaji, we have Nasimadev, there's Aragirdai, there's Shalagram Shiva. So it is, I think, one of the reasons if you worship Shalagram within the, anyone who lives within the radius of, I think it was 8 or 12 kilometers. And If you leave the body there, there's a merit. I can't recall exactly what it is. There's a benefit. So within the radius, even the radius of this 12 kilometers radius of temple, where because there's Saligram Sila being worshipped, anyone who lives there is one benefited. Anyone who dies there is also gets his spiritual merit. So that's the power of the worshipping of Saligram Sila. Yes, Mansi.
Just trying to understand the way it talks.
You have to give you the mic, very short.
Sorry.
Second mic.
Go last.
Two.
Mahamadji.
It's more reflection regarding how Krishna's arrangements are trying to help the conditioned souls, expressing or manifesting himself in different ways to facilitate our purification process. And at the same time, personally, I was reflecting in the point that the kindness of Krishna is so overwhelming in many cases. Like, for example, he's running 12 kilometers around, or to see them. But it is easy for us to negate that or take it for granted, and that is scary now for me that way, because a lot of facilities, and I have no qualification to honor and take advantage of those good boons that Krishna is giving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. I mean, we have everything. Krishna is making facilitating, Jesus is making a point, others is making a point. And Lord even comes as an ordinary song, becomes a song for us for our benefit. And the benefit he gives, that even in worship, in the proper place, is miles and miles of radius within that people will get the. His Lord is always giving us the becoming so kind from all respects. Sometimes we can do see because he comes in the form of Archavigraha is for us to worship and worship him. Yeah. So he comes in the form of scriptures.
Devotees.
He comes in the devotees. He sends devotees like Prabhupada.
Yeah. Holy name.
For holy name, he comes in the form of holy name. Yeah. So many ways this Krishna is always wanting us to be. Perform devotional service and come get out of this world. So, and it's up to us to think about this. One thing Krishna does not take out is our freely you come to Krishna, he will accept you, but he will not force you. Do you have any comments, please? Yes, sir. Your mic.
Is it for four?
Yes,
sir. How are you?
Jalajara Lakshami, so 9,900,000 is the water, Laksha Vrishati means 820 lakhs, varieties of plants. In amongst the plant, the variety of plant is 20 lakhs. So Prabhu's question is, if Tulsi is one of the plant? I don't know. That's a detail, I'm not sure. But in the lecture I was hearing from the Amaravata Maharaj, that he was mentioning, how is it possible that Krishna can expand as a super soul, he can be anywhere. What about non-Krishna, who is not Krishna? For example, Tulsi Maharaj, can she be in Vrindavan? Can she be in New York? Can she be in France? Can she be in Melbourne? He was putting that argument, he said, how do you understand that? And his answer was that just like Krishna can expand as a super soul, he has also power to empower a jiva to expand as in the multiple forms. So by the empowerment of the Lord, Lord blesses that particular devotee to be in multiple places at the same time. So that's how the Tulsi Maharani is in Vrindavan, is in Melbourne, is in New York, and somewhere else being worshipped, and they're expansion of Tulsi Maharani. So that's भागवतम की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय सभी नाम सिला की जय गो प्रेम